First thing is, I've waited patiently for the Lord for revival in Scranton. Did you hear me? I've waited patiently for the Lord for revival in Scranton. You say, well, what's revival in Scranton? Well, we see people get saved. That's vital. Amen. When somebody gets saved, Jesse, that's vital. Where is Jesse? Somebody gets saved, that is vital. He's somewhere here. I don't know. I don't see him. Anyway, when somebody, we got him. When somebody gets saved, that is, I never miss my mark. That is vital. That's giving life. But when somebody has life, they can need revival. Amen? And that is extra supplies of God's grace to live for God and to witness for God and to love the Lord. And that brings us back to normal New Testament, what they had. Amen? And so I have looked for that in Scranton years ago, many, many years ago. I don't know, probably 52 years ago, Brother Joe, I was on Clay Avenue and I raised my hand and I said, I would like to propose that the name of our fellowship here be called Scranton Revival Baptist. And somebody seconded it and they voted on it and it passed. Now, I did that because the pastor had that vision, Scranton Revival. You say, where did you get that vision from? Well, he was asked to head up a church in Scranton when he was a student at Baptist Bible. I was his best buddy. And I remember when he did that, he told me about Billy Sunday. He said, Billy Sunday came through here in 1914. And Billy Sunday, when he preached, he was here for about 6 weeks or so in the springtime. And he preached, he said that out of all of Scranton, maybe Scranton had 100,000 people, 25% of the people of Scranton walked the Sawdust Trail to profess faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, not only that, he said that out of those 25%, 80% of those people were serving God in local churches. And I saw church rolls to bear that out, and it was proven. And those people, 10 years later, 80% were still serving God in local churches. And red light districts on Lackawanna Avenue used to be a big red light district known all over the country. That was changed. That stopped. And bars were closed down, like Billy saw. And you know what? We said, we want to have an evangelist like Billy Sunday come in and reach Scranton. And then God showed us, nope, that's not my plan. Christ said, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And so the church is called Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And that was years ago. And we started to preach the gospel, baptize the converts, organize them into a local church. And guess what? We were single guys back then. And then God gave Charlie his wife, and God gave me my wife, imported her from Florida, you know. And we got married, and now we had families. And God said, no, you're not just going to be here for 2-3 weeks. I didn't know, but that was over 52 years ago, about 52 years ago. Amen? And so God had a plan. It's called patience. Lives have been changed. And I don't believe we have yet seen the vision, the fulfillment, listen to me, of what God wants to do in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Right. And we've had a revival seekers prayer meeting. Pastor Ware started it. And I prayed with him as a young man, about 21 years old, 20 years old. We had that revival seekers prayer meeting. Started on the Holy Hill up there in Clark Summit and moved down into Scranton. We had that thing for over 50 years. And guess what? We're still doing it. A men's revival seekers prayer meeting on Saturday. And I don't believe we've yet seen that. I've waited patiently for the Lord for this revival, and I don't believe we've yet seen all that God intends to do. Those prayers are being stored up in a big bottle, and we're adding to it. When that pours out the blessing, there's going to be great things happening. And you're blessed. This lady came up to me this morning. She said, I wish these people here knew what a privilege they had to be in this church, in this little city of Scranton, this great church here. You're doing a great work. She testified to it. She testified to how it affected her life and over the years. And God blessed her and through this church. And Bobby Hiller, a bus kid, who I believe got saved through ultimately through the outreach of this church, whenever he got saved, through the outreach of this church. He was a bus kid, and now he's a pastor in Connecticut. He married the pastor's daughter, and he's on the pastoral staff there in Connecticut. Bobby Hiller, he was here recently with his family. What does he have, five kids now? Or?
Yeah.
Five kids. And Bobby, and he's best friends with Brother Z there. They went to school together, Revival Baptist Christian School. He graduated from our Christian school. And he was in the prayer meeting the other day, the Revival Seekers prayer meeting. After the prayer meeting, he prayed with us. He said, there's nothing like this, Pastor. There's nothing like that. This is special. I've been all over. I've been to special conferences. I just came from a... He said, this is unique, this Revival Seekers prayer meeting. He likes to bring young men in there, don't you? So they can see what God's doing. And that reminds me of Moses. Moses in the Bible. You know, the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And I'll read verse 2 as well. Look at verse 1 of 40. I waited patiently for he and cried unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. You know which rock that is, don't you, Brother Matt? That's Jesus. I set my feet upon a solid rock and established my goings. Now listen to me. The psalmist was saying, I was in a mess. I was slipping and sliding in this miry clay, man. I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't get any traction for my feet. Maybe you've been there and you've been sliding back. God can give you revival. God can set you on the rock and establish your goings and use you. You say, well, I'm not what I used to be. But you can be. And you can go beyond where you used to be. Because God is a God of revival, my friends. And we preached on that this morning. But he said, I waited patiently for this revival. And Moses, they were in a mess. God had withdrawn his presence from Israel because of their sin. And they were slipping and sliding in the miry clay of their sin. God had withdrawn from them. He said, I'm not going to lead you. I'm going to send an angel. I'm not going to be in your midst. And a lot of churches are like that today. The Lord is there, but at a distance, you see. But Moses set up the tent outside of the regular meetings, and he sought the Lord's presence. By the way, that's what Revival Seekers prayer meeting is. We're setting it up outside of the normal course of things and seeking the Lord's presence. And people come and they say, I sense something here. But you know, it's been going on for over 50 years. I've been involved with it. Brother Joe's been doing it for decades. And I don't believe we've yet seen all that God's going to do. And Moses, when he was out there, guess what happened? The presence of the Lord descended like a cloud upon that tent where he was praying. And it was so thick in there. And it was great. And Moses had to leave the tent. But guess who came? The Bible said a young man named Joshua came. And he savored the presence of the Lord. And I want to tell you, I have been in those situations, and I believe that our church is not going to be known Scranton for the office. It's going to be known for a Scranton revival, and you need to get back to that. And I remember how God blessed us here. We were in the miry clay. We were chasing for worldliness in the church. We had the wrong kind of music. We had the rock that rolls music in the church. And we had a rock band and all that garbage. And I got out of that, and I never went back to it. Never went back. And brother, I don't intend to go back to that junk, that evangelifish junk. I don't want it. And I want to tell you, I've gotten something better. And that was in 1984. We cleaned house. And in 1985, guess what? We found the book. We found the King James Bible, got rid of the NIV Bible, and in 1985, I started, you know, that's the beginning of revival, is get back to the right Bible, amen? How are you going to have revival without the right Bible? And these guys come close, but they don't get the cigar. Well, we don't need a cigar anyway, but they come up with the new King James, You ever seen these guys, the New King James? That's no more the New King James than, as Al Lacy said, "I'm the New King Tut." No, that's not the New King James. That's a different Bible, friends. I'm telling you. I've studied it out. I'm not clouded in the cabasis. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, don't sucker for that. Don't snooker for that. Don't. Stay with it. And so I've waited patiently for the Lord, for the real revival that God wants to give us. And as we began to do that, I went to pastor school in 1986 out there in Hammond, Indiana. And you talk about the presence of God. Oh, the presence of God was there. And I saw soul winning going on. I saw people getting saved and baptized. I saw God building a church. And it was a blessing. And I got revived. I came back, I preached the message, Psalm 23, "He restoreth my soul." God restored my soul. I was on fire. And I was leading people to the Lord. And it affected our whole church. And from 1986 to 1996, we had a first great wave of growth. Since we got the King James Bible, we went from no buses to 3 buses, beloved. It was awesome. And then we had another big one starting in the year 2000. And many of you came during that time and others came. And to about 2012, right? That was a great time. And again, we leaped forward on buses and attendance of buses. And we had a great time. And so I don't believe we've yet seen all that God wants to do. I've said it before. I want to see Thursday night with all of Eric Slobodnik Hall filled with soul winners. Just filled up. And I want to see that on a Thursday night. I want to see Saturday soul winning. We have bus workers here on Saturday at 11:15 a.m. But I want to see some come back from Thursday night and say, "I got to follow those people up, bring them down the aisle. I got to follow them up on Saturday." But I always have Brother Joe. He's there. I always have Caleb there. He represents the rest that could be there. Amen? But I want to see more there. And to go and lead people to the Lord and then to follow them up so that you can bring them down the aisle. And what a blessing that will be. And of course, we have our bus workers that are there on Saturday. That's open for you to get involved with that. I want to see mini buses. I want to see us reach the Catholic middle class. That has not yet been done. I want to see the guys up at Kelleher's Tires get saved. I go up to Kelleher's Tires. They know who I am. They know all about me. They take our candy there for the school. But I want to see them get saved. I've witnessed to some. I want to do more. And I want to see them get saved and see the Catholic middle class coming here and walking down the aisle. I want to see not only the light that we're holding out, the light in Scranton and in the Valley Cities, but I want to see the salt where this place becomes what Brother Bob Majeski prayed one Wednesday night. He said, "Lord, make this a Northeastern PA Bible Belt." A Bible Belt. God can do it. God can do it. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And so praying for revival. Wait patiently for the Lord. I am waiting for greater things in Scranton, for revival in Scranton. But I want to tell you a second thing I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for reformation in America. I'm waiting for reformation in America. Listen to me and listen to me well. This country is not a free country. This country is in captivity. This country has a uniparty. They're all one and they're under the Western globalists who are working with the communist Chinese. You say, "Pastor, how long has this been going on?" I remember Eisenhower. That's how far back I go. Brother Joe, do you remember Eisenhower? I remember Eisenhower. I remember President Dwight David Eisenhower. Do you remember that, Alicia? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But I remember him speaking. And I remember Dwight David Eisenhower. And I remember I remember when he ran, I mean, not just at the inauguration of Kennedy, but I remember at the inauguration of Kennedy, the next president that followed him, John Kennedy, he said these words. He said, "I fear a military-industrial complex." And what he was saying is a shadow government, not elected, that's going to take over the president. And he warned the nation. Robert Kennedy Jr. has talked about that. And that is the real deal. And John Kennedy got in. He decided to quash the CIA because he saw the globalism in the CIA. He started printing money outside of the Federal Reserve. And they assassinated him. They killed him on the streets of Dallas, just as sure as I am standing here tonight. There's proof of it. And Tucker Carlson saw the proof and talked about it, and he got fired from Fox. But anyway, I'm just telling you, friends, this is a country in captivity by these globalists who took over the CIA, who are big time in the FBI and in these different agencies and much more, much more. And so what I'm saying is, you know, the presidents basically have been puppets. They've been puppets since they killed Kennedy. Right. And they've been puppets. Reagan, they put George W. Bush in there because he was a CIA man, a globalist man. George W. Bush, he was not good. And they put him in there to keep an eye on Reagan, lest he get out of line. And he got shot once. And I'm just saying to you that that's been the way it has been up until Donald Trump ran in 2016. Yep. And the thing about Donald Trump is you might not like his personality or whatever, but he is a nationalist, not a globalist. You say, how do you know that? Look how much they hate his guts. They don't hate you if they could buy you off and you go along with them. They don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. You just go along with them and everything is fine. But if you don't, you know, and the thing of it is, the amazing thing of it is that Donald Trump is not dead like John F. Kennedy. Now, they've tried to assassinate him physically. They've tried to get him in many other ways. And it's incredible when you look at it. I've never seen the likes of it in my lifetime. Right. I saw John F. Kennedy get assassinated. I lived through all that. But I mean, I'm telling you, they the way they tried to lynch him in public with the two impeachments, do you remember that? After amazingly he got elected in 2016, they'd already rigged the election so Hillary was supposed to win it. I don't have time to go into that whole story. I've told you, she was supposed to win it. And she didn't win it because God turned it around. And it's amazing how it happened. And he got in there. And he began to shake things up to reform this country to get us back to justices that would interpret the Constitution as it was written. And he began to do that, and they went after him with the two impeachments. They tried to do everything they could do. And when they couldn't get rid of him, they decided we're going to launch a bioweapon called Corona, and we're going to stuff ballot boxes and get rid of them that way. But that's not even the biggest thing. It's the Smartmatic Dominion rigged voting machines. And they use them to steal that election. Of course, they've been stealing elections for a long time, but they're really perfecting it now. They're doing it. Their own party, the Demon Rat Party, fought over this issue when they stole it from Bernie and so forth. But I'm just saying to you, this has been going on, and I have been praying, and some of you have been praying for God, and I've waited patiently for the Lord, and we've been in the muck and the mire of captivity, beloved. But I ask you, is God able to deliver? David said, he delivered me, and he put my feet on a solid rock. He can do it again as he's done it before. And so they're trying now to get him on the 14th Amendment, which is a Civil War amendment, saying he led the country in insurrection like Jefferson Davis. And after the Civil War, they passed the 14th Amendment, so no people that were involved in the Civil War, which they called an insurrection, they said they can't get into Congress, and they made it for that reason. And they're trying to get Donald Trump on that. They're saying he led in a Civil War, in an insurrection, and so based on the 14th Amendment, we believe he cannot run. And they're trying to get him off of state ballots. They tried in Michigan, they're trying in Colorado, they've tried, and so far they failed in every case. And they just keep on trying. They're appealing it to the press. They're trying to put him in jail. They're trying to take his business. They're saying, oh, he said to the bankers his home was worth more than it's worth. Actually, it was less. It's worth more than they said. And the bankers were just fine with it. So they're trying to help out the bankers? No, they're trying to get rid of his money so that he cannot function. They will take your money. They will take everything from you. And if that doesn't work, they'll try to take your life. I believe they're running other Republicans to try to stop it. And they're backing them with money. I appreciate what Ron DeSantis did in Florida, but he shouldn't be running against Donald J. Trump. Stay in Florida and stay out of the presidential. That's been stolen. And there's a lot of money backing Ron DeSantis. And there are people that want to... Now, some of you will say there's absolutely no chance for Ron DeSantis to pull ahead of Donald Trump. I beg to differ. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying don't underestimate your enemy. Don't underestimate the Western globalists. You see, it says in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he delivered me out of the miry clay and put my feet on a solid rock. They're not done fighting Donald J. Trump. They're not done. But you know what I've prayed? I prayed that all of these attacks will go off him like water off a duck's back. And I'm not saying Ron DeSantis is going to pull ahead of Donald Trump in primaries. It hasn't even started yet. Nobody says there's a chance for Ron DeSantis to do that. But I'm saying to you, it could happen. And if it happens, do not lose your faith in God. Because I don't believe Ron DeSantis is doing what God wants. That's my confidence. It's not the polls. It's God Almighty. It's the promise of God. I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry in 2016, but then he let the enemy come in. Why? So we might wait on God to revive us and to reform our country so that we can serve the Lord. Not so that we can just have our own selfish time. Oh, beloved, get a hold of it. Wait upon God for these things, as it says. And if you look at verse 4 of Psalm 40, notice what it says. He says in verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many believers believe the lying media. Many believers don't believe in a preacher like me that's telling you the truth. They'll believe in the lying media. You shouldn't even be listening to that mainstream garbage. It's just propaganda, is right. You shouldn't be filling your head with it. It will alter your DNA, mark my words. It'll make you messed up. If you listen to MSNBC, CNBC, and all the rest of it, ABC, CBS, and all that, now a lot of Fox News the same way, it's all globalist propaganda. Oh, beloved, get in that book. Listen to alternate sources. And I'm just saying to you, I waited patiently for the Lord, for a revival in Scranton, for reformation in America. And thirdly, I've waited patiently for the Lord for the return of Christ's prophecies. I remember when I was in Bible college and I went to seminary, and I had some great Bible teachers in seminary. One of them, John Benson. What a prophetic teacher he was. He was a pre-tribulationist, Brother Bob, but he really taught me a lot of prophecy. Helped me out. And you know what? As I began to study the Word of God, I did test for him. I shared why the rapture before the 70th week was definitely the best view there was. I could not see the post-tribulational view because he showed us so many problems with it from Scripture. But then I found out there was another view. It was a pre-wrath view. I began to see it more and more. And then I read a book by Marvin Rosenthal that put it all together. And I was like, it all clicked. Yes! And I told my wife. I told my wife before I read that book, I said, I'm leaning toward this now. And she said, well, don't preach it until you see it. Don't preach it. And when I read that book, I did, and I began to preach that in the church and let people know what I believed. And I'm saying to you that those prophecies are getting ready to come to pass, and they're actually beginning to happen. And about 15 years ago, I was studying and I read and heard information from author Bill Salas, because I had prayed that God would show me prophecies between now and the beginning of the last 7 years, because I really got to understand that. And he showed me the Psalm 83 war and Ezekiel 38 and 39 and these prophecies. And I began to get an understanding of them and preach them to this church. And our church people are getting an understanding, so that it's helping people to watch. But wait for these prophecies. I've been preaching them for 15 years. But I've been waiting for them. I've been watching for them. Because I'm watching for Christ to come back. Now, I don't know how long it's going to be till Psalm 83 is fulfilled, Jeremiah 49. I don't know how long it's going to be till after that, Ezekiel 38, 39. But I do know that it's going to happen, beloved. And I do know that we can watch for these things. And I want to ask you a question. Are you waiting patiently for the Lord to return? Are you watching the prophecies? Are you getting an understanding of these things so that you can relate them to people? And I thank God that we have a church where folks are excited about the book of Revelation. They're excited about Jesus Christ coming back. They're excited about the fulfillment of prophecy. And we're waiting patiently for the Lord to do that. You say, are there going to be some tough times before there's some better times? Israel's going to win, amen. Israel's going to win. They're going to have their land. But are they going to go through some tough times? Yeah, especially when you get into the Great Tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. But listen, you can wait when you're in the miry clay, when you're in the muck of it all, if you're in the Word of God. You know what also helps me to wait, beloved? I am not only waiting and watching, I'm working. I'm staying busy for God. I'm doing what we're supposed to be doing now, soul winning, leading people to the Lord, and doing the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to be doing as we're waiting and watching. It's not just, well, we're going to go somewhere and have a dinner and relax and watch TV and eat popcorn. And yeah, there's a place for that too. but that's not all we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be working for the Lord. Are you working for the Lord? And I'm just saying, we're supposed to be working for Him, and it helps you to wait patiently. So I waited patiently for the Lord for revival. I waited patiently for the Lord for Reformation in America. I waited patiently for the Lord for the prophecies of the return of Christ. And I'm still doing it. And I am waiting patiently for the Lord for relatives. And that's my last point. Here's what it says in Romans 11, 25 and 26. It says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You know when the fullness of the Gentiles are? The end of the last 7 years, when the times are fulfilled for God to save the church, judge the world, and then save Israel as a nation. He said, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved when the fullness of times come in. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, heavenly Zion. He'll come to earthly Zion. He shall he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. In other words, God's people rejected Jesus. God's people rejected the apostles. And they've been judged in AD 70 by the Romans. They've been judged in Hitler's terrible ovens. They've been judged. But now God is doing a new thing. He's regathering them back to the land. Yes, they're going to have to go through one more Holocaust, unfortunately. But listen to me. God is going to save his people. That ought to encourage you if you have relatives that you want to get saved. They've known the gospel like Israel. They've heard it. They have not been obedient to the Lord. They need either salvation or revival. And you know, just like the fullness of the Gentiles are going to come, I believe there's going to come a time if you're praying for your family and listen, you're staying busy for God, you will reap the reward of those prayers. The best thing you can do for an unrepentant family members is fulfill your mission for Jesus Christ.
That's good.
Don't just stick and focus on the family. Focus on what the Lord wants you to do. And trust him with the family. And that will provoke them to jealousy. That will stir them up if they see the hand of God in your life. If they see the hand of God in what you're doing. And so that is what you and I need to be doing if we want to see our relatives come around. And here's a promise to claim. Psalm 102:13. I'm talking about relatives that you prayed for. I'm talking about relatives you've waited on God for. Here's what it says in Psalm 102:13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. There is a time when God sends showers of blessing. He'll do it in the church and in Scranton. He'll do it in America. He'll do it, you see, beloved, if you wait upon him when it comes to the fulfillment of the prophecies of Christ's return. And he'll do it for your relatives as you pray and work for God. There'll become a time when it will begin to rain and showers of blessing will come and you'll begin to reap the blessing. And what does it say when that happens? Psalm 126, 1 and 2. Here's what I believe this applies to. It applies to revival in Scranton. It applies to Reformation in America and Donald Trump coming back. And I do believe he's coming back, beloved. It applies to the return of Christ. I know he's coming back. And it applies to relatives getting saved that you may have waited long for. And here it is, Psalm 126. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Isn't that great when God comes through for his people? And we can testify, and the heathen can see it. Your unsaved families can see it. Listen, if they're not here in church, if they're not on the front row like Charlie Ware said praying, you be here and wait patiently for the Lord. He'll hear your cry. He'll deliver you, and he'll set your feet on a solid rock, and the people around you will see it. And God will bless. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, the message tonight is wait patiently for the Lord. Don't run out on God. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed. We've been talking about I waited patiently.